a reason things happen the way they do. I'll tell you, there's a lot going on right now that I want to talk about that, but I'll tell you for a couple minutes what it used to be like. I've always been a compulsive overeater, my whole life. From the time I can remember, I just loved food. Food just, food determined my moods. If in nursery school, they were serving cookies, I was excited. If it was something boring like crackers or, God forbid, cut up fruit or something, I'd get depressed because there was nothing to look forward to. And that's what I thought how everybody lived. I was also a very chubby kid, and I didn't put it together when I was a child that my love of food was making me fat. I thought I was just fat. That's just how I was. I thought that was just one of my attributes. My family, food, I was an only child until I was 5 years old. And my grandmother died when I was about a year and a half. And so my grandfather came to live with us. My father on my mother's side, and they went through the depression raising six kids and lots of other people in their house that they took care of during the depression. And my father was a Holocaust survivor that, people died in front of him. I mean, he had all kinds of issues with food. And so there was a lot of food stuff in our house, a lot of, and my grandfather who lived with us was from Russia, and lots of things over, lots of, food insecurity there. And so having enough food in the house was a big deal, and showing love with food. And we didn't have a lot of religion. It was the food, celebrating holidays was all about the food and love. And it was also a chaotic house. So I felt very, I just felt like everybody else in the world had a ruled book but me. And I didn't enjoy my childhood. I did not have a happy childhood. I didn't think well of myself. That's one of the things, talk about miracles. My life today is a miracle. I have a fairly successful life. I have a strong family, lots of support systems in my life, starting with OA and in my work and in my I'm active in my synagogue, and it's just my life is a miracle. From it's nothing like, what I would have thought it would have turned out when I was a kid. I thought everybody else was good at something, and I was good at nothing. I wasn't good at sports because I was so fat and ill-coordinated, and I thought I was the fattest, ugliest, stupidest kid. That's how I would describe myself. I felt like I wouldn't. I thought I would live with my parents. I mean, if you asked me as a kid, what do you th really think your life will turn out like? I would have thought I'll live with my parents until they die, and then I'll become homeless. That's really sort of what I thought about myself. So that's how it was. And I just kept gaining weight as a kid. I learned dieting when I was 10, and that's when my weight started going up even faster. I was probably at one time as a child like 80 pounds overweight or so. When I was 12 years old, I weighed more than I do now, and wore a bigger size. Everybody thought I'm fairly, I'm not very, I'm, on the smaller side, stature wise, and height and stuff and build. But everybody said David's going to be a football player because I just look big and husky clothes and all that stuff. I remember my parents would send me to summer camp because, I had to live everybody's life, what they couldn't as kids. So I had to live fulfill all what they thought would be a good childhood. So they'd send me to summer camp, and I hated it. I got through it with, taking as much food in my suitcase. I remember buying candy and all this stuff to hide in my suitcase so I would have my survival things with me at camp. But I would get this really bad asthma. A lot of my weight was in my stomach. Also, my thighs would rub against each other and like start to bleed almost, and my pants would, I'd wear out the thigh thing, the leg and the thighs. Anyway, it was really, yeah, not a happy childhood. And I share that because if anybody who knows me, now on the weekends, I love to hike. I only do like an hour at a time. I'm not a marathon hiker, but I love to find places in Los Angeles to go for an hour. I take my son who needs to get out and get his energy out. And my daughter has a dog that also needs to be, energy. And so we go for like these hour hikes and I love it. It's meditative. It's healthy for my body, and to think what a miracle co compared to how I was. I couldn't wouldn't do that kind of stuff, anything physical. So anyway, that's how it was when I was in 1973. Yeah, 1973, I was 12 years old. My mom came to OA, forced me to a few meetings with her, but I wanted nothing to do with it. Like, I don't like her talking about God. I didn't like her putting everybody on absence. I just, and yeah, it wasn't for me, but I heard a few things like don't take that first bite. And I remember I had a cousin that I grew up with. And she went to the same, because she lived with us, she went to the same junior high school. And she goes, David, you won't be able to stop eating those coffee cakes. They're so good. And I remember that was the one thing I learned in OA. Don't take the first bite. So I didn't take for months and months, I didn't eat the coffee cake. But one day I tried it. And every day after that, I had to have one every single day. And then it became two. And so OA, I think, helped me at that point. I not that I was going, but from having been to a few meetings with my mom, I think it slowed down my compulsion for a little bit, or it gave me a few things, but I was still off and running. And the head, the feeling horrible about myself and having no friends and feeling bad. So in 1976, my mom was doing really well in OA. One of her friends who had brought her to OA had a son the same age as me. And my mom says, "Oh, Michael's going to be going to this teen meeting. Why don't for OA? Why don't you go with him?" And that was June, the end of June 1976, just before I was going to start high school. And I started going. And the only thing I really wanted from that was not to gain weight anymore. I really thought one day I won't be a compulsive overeater like my mom and these people in OA. But if I could just stop for a little bit, I'll get it. One day I'll lose weight. One day I'll be able to do it myself. As I said, I didn't believe in God. I didn't like my mom talking about God. But I really thought, okay, at that teen meeting, it wasn't as formal as the regular meetings. It was more like fellowship. And so I just started going on Wednesdays. And I remember my one thought was maybe high school is going to be my last chance. Because I remember the doctors telling my parents, David's going to be 250 pounds by the time he's 18. And I had my both on my dad and mom's side, everybody had high blood pressure and diabetes and heart disease. And my mom actually eventually died at like 65 years old of a heart attack. But even before that, for years, she lived with all kinds of complications because of her disease. And my dad's sister died in her 60s. He had one surviving sister, and she died of the same thing, like my mom's side. And so I knew I was headed for not a good life. And I remember thinking, maybe high school, if I could just do something about not gaining weight, and maybe high school would be my last chance to turn my life around. And maybe OA could help a little bit. And how true was that? I just kept going. It was suggested that I start calling in what I was going to eat. So if I didn't want to gain weight, maybe that would help. And that's how I date my absence. It was October 1976. It wasn't a food plan. I didn't swear off any specific food. I still don't today. I eat everything, but I eat in a manner that I've maintained my weight. But at the beginning, it was just to stop gaining weight. That's all I wanted. So I started calling in my food. Later, I started counting calories. And that was how the absence began. I later started doing service. I helped start a second teen meeting, and that service kept me from leaving OA. And then later, the LA Inner Group elected me to join the board, and I started a teen committee, and we started having teen retreats and fellowship. And all of a sudden, from this kid that never had friends, that felt like the biggest loser, all of a sudden, I'm getting love from OA. I'd go to meetings and get all this attention and do service, and people made me feel good about myself. And I still felt like a piece of shit, but at least I believed you guys liked me and loved me. And I started losing weight a little bit at a time. I would still look at myself and look at my stomach and say, "Oh my God, I'm as fat as I ever was." But I started going down. And the other thing was, I was starting to, I always said I love food too much. That's why I can never, go on a diet. I can never lose weight because I just love food. And the other thing I discovered was I didn't really like food. I just needed food like a drug. I wasn't really enjoying my food. It was all of a sudden in absence that like I would eat a meal, and whatever it was in the meal, it was my meal. And all of a sudden I really saw the difference, that it was just about, it wasn't about my love of food. I really had it wrong. Anyway, I've gone through a lot in this program. Both my parents died fairly young. My dad had cancer from smoking cigarettes, and I lost him at 3 years after my mom died. And because of this program, and we had a horrible relationship. My dad, I didn't speak to at all because politically, and he at the age of 15, he had no family, nobody. And so he just thought I should look up to him like father knows best. And so we bucked heads a lot. And so we stopped really communicating. He didn't know really how to be an American father, let's put it that way. And my mother, we binged together, and she was a rageaholic and had her issues. And so anyway, my relationship was really bad with them. And in a way, at the beginning, I was a teenager, I only learned to just ignore them. That's all I, was able to do at the beginning and the first few years,
Five
especially
minutes.
okay, when I lived at home. But my spon I had a I got a sponsor eventually, started working the steps, took an inventory, and my sponsor would say, "You can't blame your parents for your life. Your life will never get better if you just keep blaming your parents. You need to take responsibility. It's your recovery, it's your life. And if you put it on your parents, you'll never recover." And I did that, and I learned to stop blaming them, and I started to learn to make amends, even though I thought they owed me a lot of amends. I started learning what my part was. And with my dad, amends looked like going out to dinner with him, giving him one evening to just the two of us go to dinner. Or later it was going to, on Sundays before I had a family, going to their house and having dinner with them, every Sunday. It was just little things. It was later taking them on vacation because they were too dysfunctional to do vacation, so I would help them and do that. And when they died, each of them, I had a complete healing with them. And in fact, me and my dad were best friends. I mean, I was his best friend when he died. I was the one he depended on the most. And that's all a miracle of this program. I'm married. I have two kids. Now they're grown up, but that I didn't have to. I think I wasn't perfect. I always say I wouldn't make the same mistakes my parents made. I think, used food once in a while. Oh, if you do this, I'll take you out to lunch or whatever. So I'm not perfect. A few times, I'm not perfect, but I did better than my parents, and that's because of this program. My daughter, especially. My son's autistic, and to learn to deal with a very difficult situation is only because of this program. My daughter, who's has her own, she had growing up weight issues, self-image, food issues. I only would always frame it as healthy, and I didn't. My parents would say such horrible things to me sometimes to try and get me to lose weight or do something. And the relationship I have, especially with my daughter, is she'll say, "Dad, what do you think about eating this way?" Or, "What do you think?" Or, "What should I do?" Or even my son has said, "Oh, Dad, maybe I should go to OA with you." And I say, "Jacob, I don't think you're ready yet, or you don't, it would be hard for you to understand." But that my kids can come to me, is a miracle of this program. That I have a life that I am, for somebody who was afraid of people, felt unsuccessful, I have a life that I'm very involved in the community. First, it started with OA, getting very involved and doing service in OA. And now I do service in my community. I have a job where I help people all the time. And I love it, actually, what I do. And people say, "David, you're so outgoing." And I say, "No, I'm really introverted and pretty quiet." And it's because of this program that I've been able to be that part of me that can be there for people and like people. In the last couple minutes, I want to talk about I had a aunt who just died a little over a week ago. She was 103 years old, and it's been bringing up a lot of feelings in the last week because she lived with us most of the time. Her daughter was sort of raised as my sister, almost my cousin, lived also. And
One
my aunt,
minute.
okay, I'll wrap it up in this last minute. My aunt went to meetings. My mom used to take my aunt to meetings. My cousin used to go with me to teen meetings sometimes. But both of them have their own issues. I won't take their inventories, but both have disappeared, walked out of their lives, walked away from everybody. My aunt came back in her life and then would disappear for months, and it's just brought up all kinds of feelings again, with my aunt. For a year, I did not know if she was what was happening. I think she was slowly going, but anyway, to know I'm okay. I didn't need, my aunt was proud of me and thought highly of me, but my cousin, her daughter, who is never going to be the relative, the surrogate big sister I think she should be. I would love her to be proud of me, be part of my life, know my family. and it's not going to happen. And I have to just accept it, and I have to be of service right now, and work my own program, and not try and fix my cousin who's got a lot of mental, problems. And it's just been an interesting week, and it's one more thing that my higher power in this program, it's life on life's terms, and it's what I'm dealing with. So anyway, again, Rich, thank you. I've known Rich most of both our lives, from forever, and it's for me, it's so great to see people that I've known so long, and we're trudging this path together. So anyway, thank you all for being here.